Okay, you're tuned to WHPK 88.5 FM in Chicago. You are now tuned to the Sitting in the Park show. Today I have three very special guests up in here in the studio, members of the Chicago group Coffee, and we will be talking about their music and playing their records, so you should definitely keep tuned. So first of all, would you like to introduce yourselves?
Elaine Sims.
Glenda Searcy.
Dee Dee Sutton.
Okay, well, thanks so much for coming up. So, first of all, what part of Chicago is your group from?
Westside.
Okay.
Westside.
And I guess you have all been singing for a long time, so I guess we'll talk about each of you, how you got started singing, and then how the group came together in the end.
Yes.
So, I guess we'll start off. With Elaine, can you talk about how you got started singing?
Well, I started in church, of course, singing in the choir.
Okay.
And then I went from there, I started working with a group called Etiquette.
Okay. So were you in high school at the time?
I was in high school. I was at John Marshall High School.
Okay. So where were you living around that time?
In K-Town.
Okay.
15th and Keeler.
Okay, so was that was the first group you sang with? It was called the Etiquettes. And I know that they were involved with the Teens with Talent organization,
yeah.
like which was like the Conquistadors and the Constellations and all that.
Yeah.
So that was the first actual vocal group that you sang with.
Right.
How did you get involved with them?
Well, we lived in the neighborhood. The girls were from the neighborhood, and we used to just kind of sing together on the corners.
Okay.
And what happened, we got together to do a show at the Marshall Jamboree.
Okay, which was the talent show.
And that's how we came together.
So do you remember what year that group formed?
It had been somewhere in the 60s.
Probably like early to mid-60s?
Yeah.
And so you actually did a bunch of shows with the Teens with Talent, and you actually were on their TV broadcast that they did, right?
Right.
So what was that? That was like on PBS? It was on Channel 11 at the time?
Channel 11, yeah.
And do you remember any of the other groups on the show?
No, Conquistador, Carnation, I think they was on the show too.
Okay. And I think that was the Constellations.
Constellation.
And was the Versalettes were on there too, right?
Right.
Okay.
There's another group, Little Madeline.
Oh, the baby Miracles?
Baby Miracles.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you actually never ended up recording with the Etiquettes.
No, no.
Did you try to get a record deal, or were you just performing?
No, we were just performing.
And did you stay with them throughout high school?
Yes.
Did the group break up after school?
Yeah, after school we broke up, and I got with another group called the Portraits of Black.
Okay.
And
was that also a West Side group?
It was West Side group.
Was it a female group?
Female with, well, four of us.
Okay.
Four ladies. Yeah.
And what happened with that group? How long were they together?
Well, I think we must have sung together maybe 3 years.
Okay.
3 years. And we broke up. And at the time, we had a couple contract deals to do. So I wanted to complete the contracts out, so how I met Coffee.
So you were supposed to record with the Portraits?
Not record, but we had some shows.
Okay.
So
you wanted to, you know, do your shows.
Right.
So you met the other members of Coffee then?
Right, that's how Coffee came about.
What year was that?
76.
Probably earlier.
About 76, before then.
Before
70. So it might be around 74. So we did our first record in
76.
So I would say
about 74.
Maybe about 74.
Okay. Well, I'll ask the other women that are here how they got started. So I guess, Gwen, could you talk about how you got started singing?
Well, let me tell you, Bob. I was like a really just straight rookie, you know, and girl growing up in the projects. And this particular...
What projects?
Avila. It's a 16-story... I mean, 16 stories on Racine and Roosevelt, which they tore down now.
Okay.
And
so you're not from the West Side?
I'm from the West Side.
Okay.
Yeah, Racine and
Roosevelt. But not as far south and west.
Yeah, like that. Well, I grew up there, and I went to Crane. That's where I went to school at, graduated from. And but what happened was I was really, like, cutting class. This was just so weird. And I was at a girlfriend's house that just got an apartment, and I was singing. And one of the young ladies that was in the group, Silk, heard me singing. She knocks on the door, and I'm going, like, that's my mother. I know that knock. You know what I'm going? But it was her, and she was like, oh, who's that singing? And so my girlfriend told her, well, it's Gwen. She's singing. So she said, I want you to meet my manager. And that's how I got to meet Miss Moore, Ruth Moore.
Okay.
And I was like 15, you know, just didn't know. Now, I was tomboy, for real, you know. And they had to teach me everything because Silk was already doing their stuff, you know.
Some of them were even in the Kittens, so they were grown already.
Taking this little girl in, and I came in being the lead singer because the lead singer of that group had got pregnant, and she had to, and they had just finished the record.
Falling in love
isn't easy.
So you replaced Cynthia.
I replaced the lead singer,
Cynthia Washington.
Cynthia, yes.
Who was the one that discovered you? Do you remember the name?
Her name was Laura.
Was it Laura Ross?
Yes.
Okay.
Laura did, and so when I got there to audition, I was like scared. I didn't know all these people sitting around, and we had to do it in a Ruth's kitchen. And when I sung and everything, it was just different groups there, and they said, oh, yeah. So they had to teach me. They put my makeup on. They had to put heels on me and, you know, and everything. And I think I was on Soul Train 3 times with Don Cornelius, you know, all this.
The Chicago Channel 26 one.
And when we finished all of this, I could never go out with them, you know, because I was too young. So I would have to be with Miss Moore and her grandkids, you know. So I would have to go to dinner with them, and the Silk went to do whatever they did, you know, as grown-ups. And then after that, when Cynthia had a baby and came back, Ms. Moore said, well, I still want you to sing. And then she said, I want to introduce you to someone. And that's when I met Elaine. And Elaine had to fulfill this contract that the group that she was in. So they had to teach me real quick to fill in with this group and do all we did. And after all that was over, we said, that's the only two groups I've ever been in, with Silk and with Coffee. They kind of like showed me the whole ropes. And then once I did that with Coffee, you know, the rest is history, you know, for me, you know.
So, but you were actually the lead of Silk when you were with the group?
Yeah.
But you're not on the record because Cynthia is the one
on
the record?
I'm not on the record, but I did all of her engagements.
Okay. How long were you with Silk?
I was with them... I would say up until like 70, for about 3 years. So I came in like in about 70, 71, 72, something like that.
Okay.
Time. And after 71, I was with Coffee then. It was around 71.
Okay.
And I had to go back because that's during the time with Chinese when I had my daughter. So that was in 71. And then after being with Coffee, you know, I wasn't the original lead singer. It was Betty Caldwell.
Okay.
That was the original lead singer of Coffee.
Okay.
And then when we started recording, she had gotten out the group once we started actually recording our first record. The first record we did was she recorded. I did the
B-side. Your Loving Ain't As Good As Mine.
Right.
But we'll get to that. I want to get to all the people who are... So Dee Dee, how did you get started singing?
Okay, I got started singing, I guess, years ago, around about the 70s or what have you. And I come from the Henry Horner Projects.
Where is that?
That's on the west side.
What streets are the...
Around Damon, Lake, Washington.
Okay.
Around in there, Oakley.
Okay.
In that area there. And I started out singing with a community choir. You know, I forget the name of the choir.
Okay.
But it's been a long time. And then I started singing with a female vocal group. I think the name was Sweet Inspiration or something. And I forget the name of the group. With my sister and then two other sisters.
You never recorded anything with that group?
Never recorded anything with them. We just basically went to all the different clubs and everything on the south side, west side, north side.
That was after you were out of high school?
I was still in high school then.
But what high school did you attend?
I attended Crane High School.
Okay.
And Gwen went to the same high school.
Did you know Gwen when you were in school?
I knew of her.
Okay.
I knew of her from going to all the different talent shows. I used to love to go to the talent shows.
Okay.
Yeah, and then as time went on, I started singing with this singing group. We're doing background with the Stillers.
Okay.
Doing background with the Stillers, and from that point on, did a few things with them, and then I started working at this particular Chicago Reed Mental Health Center, and I got with Elaine. Elaine, we both were good friends and everything, and she said she was looking for a lead singer, tenor, soprano.
Wait, so how did you know Elaine?
I knew Elaine from what we used to work.
You worked at the same place.
I used to work for the state.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and whose idea was it to form Coffee? So Elaine, you formed it specifically and originally just to pick up the shows that the Portraits of Black weren't doing.
Right.
How'd you come up with the name Coffee?
We were sitting in Mo's kitchen trying to figure out a name, and we were sitting there, and I saw a can of coffee on the stove. I said, Coffee, hot, black, and sweet. Brian, Hester, and Sim. That's it. That's how we came up with Coffee.
And there were originally four members, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who was the fourth member? Her name was Betty
Caldwell.
And how did you know her?
Betty was also through Miss Moore. She, associated through Moore. She was in Moore group singers.
Okay, Ruth Moore brought
Betty.
You and Gwen and Betty together,
right?
And you knew Dee Dee from where you worked,
right? Correct.
Okay, and I think you told me already, but how did you know Miss Moore again? Were you just introduced to her?
Well, Miss Moore was always known for anybody on the West Side that sing.
She was the manager. She was their manager.
She managed
everything.
I used to go and listen to like the Kittens and you know the Silk. I used to go all the time visiting her. And that's how I, you know, found out about Miss Moore.
Okay.
So if you was looking for a singer,
go to her house.
Go to Miss Moore. She'll find you.
Do you remember where her house was?
21st Street.
Yeah,
21st Street, right off Costner.
That's right.
Okay. So you formed the group, and did you do those shows that the Portraits of Black were supposed to do?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember what was it with a specific club that you had a contract with?
What was that? Do you remember the first show we did?
Was it for your dad?
Yeah. It might have been.
Her father had a social club called the Five Gents, or what, the Five Gents?
Yeah. Is this the one we went to? Where we go? We went somewhere out of town, didn't we?
Yeah, we went out of town. Was it Canada?
Canada.
It was in Canada.
Yes.
Oh, you actually, your shows were at a club in Canada?
Yes.
Yes, at a hall somewhere in Canada.
They took over the whole hotel, looked like.
Right, yeah.
And it was in Canada. And these guys was like known. This was like every year.
A big social club called the Five Gents.
Five Gents,
right.
So what was the deal? Was it like a gentleman's club? Like what was,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was all men.
Okay.
Club.
And what was it, like an upscale type club?
Oh, yeah.
Upscale.
Okay.
Upscale.
So you originally had a contract to do the shows with the Portraits of Black, and then you brought your group together to do the shows there. And how long was the engagement at that club?
It was the weekend. Yeah. We were there for the weekend.
Okay. And how long had you been together singing before you had to do the show?
We had to have a month. It wasn't even a month. I remember Mo made our first outfit.
And she was your manager at the time?
Yeah, total groom.
And and she taught you how to do everything?
She was a model. She went to beauty school.
Gym shoe kid. I mean, climbing a tree. Anything. I was a total tomboy. But you know, we 3-inch heels. She's still in them. You know, but I'm
getting used to it.
So you only practiced for a month. Did you do well at the show?
Oh yeah. Look,
yeah.
They wouldn't, everything they had, you better believe, coffee was booked.
Okay.
Right. For the last, 5 or 6 years, we did that show to Canada.
When you call coffee, you talking dress. You know what, see, Mo was like a person that polished. When we went out dressed, we was dressed alike, everything from head to toe, sequin gowns. I mean everything. We was one of the best dressed groups in Chicago.
Okay, And that was around 1974, something like that, that show in Canada.
Right.
And do you remember what types of songs you did on the show? Was it just like popular songs of the day?
Yes.
Okay.
We was a type of very unique group. We would do men songs.
I mean, we do
okay.
The OJs, everything,
OJs. You know, all of it, and just change it. That was the.
But it was R&B. It was R&B that you were doing.
Yeah.
Who sang lead in the group?
Or, I did.
Okay, and you were doing shows for a few years before you actually recorded, right? Your first record was 76.
Yes.
So what was the story like? What were you doing those 2 years? Were you just doing shows in Chicago, or were you traveling everywhere?
Traveling colleges,
prison,
yes, okay.
Joliet.
We would tell
all
prison.
I bet the guys were flipping.
Yes, we had a regular contract with the prison.
What was it like doing a show in the prison like that?
It was awesome. Yes. They were selling our pictures.
I think most people that would go to the prison kind of stayed away, and we did. We would walk
out
up
there
to
into
them. You know, we really
the crowd.
Yeah. Like we was doing a regular show. And it was really awesome for them to be able to touch.
You know what's so great about it? Because I had a brother in there. I had a brother in Stasio. He got popular because of coffee. I guess what's his name coming? But for real, seriously, my brother was, he has passed now, but Danny was in jail. And when we came to Stasio, he would be the only one that had a picture of coffee, and he would sell a picture for them to keep it in their cell like a day. He was like, you had it for a week. You know, he was that how he made his money. That's terrible.
So,
fun days.
So, what prison was that? It was
Stateville.
Where was that?
Stateville.
Joliet.
Okay.
So, and
around 1976, you ended up cutting your first record, which was Your Lovin' Ain't As Good As Mine. And we've been talking for a while. I want to play the record, and then we could talk about how it ended up being recorded.
Okay.
So this is Coffee with their very first record called Your Lovin' Ain't As Good As Mine. Okay, that was just Coffee with their very first record called Your Lovin' Ain't As Good As Mine. And if you're just tuning in, I have members of Coffee in the studio talking about their group and their story. So that record came out, I think, in 1976, is that right?
Yes.
Do you remember, so you talked about that you were touring and playing clubs and even playing prisons, and then you got, how'd you get a record deal? What was the story with that?
It was, someone ended up getting it from Clarence.
Clarence Johnson.
Yes. And they heard the CD. Clarence Johnson had said that he wasn't going to try to promote it.
No, that was with Delight Records.
Delight
Records. Talking about the one with
the very first record.
Clarence
Johnson did that.
Clarence Johnson did that.
Yes.
And was it through Ruth Moore that happened? Because I know that.
I think so.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
I know her
Ruth
grandkids, North, South, East, West, also recorded with Clarence.
Right.
So, did you sign a contract with Clarence, or was it with Ruth still?
Yeah, we were with Clarence, and Ruth was the manager at that time.
Correct.
So that record, first of all, it's got a real Chicago kind of sound to it, and it specifically sounds a lot like the Love Lights, My Conscience.
Right, that's why.
Like not only the bass line, but the chorus and the refrain and everything. So was that, who wrote the song, first of all?
It was Geraldine and Shirley, Maurice and them.
Okay.
They wrote that.
Maurice Commander and Geraldine Shelton.
Yeah.
And so do you know, if were they trying to sound like the Love Lights, or did you thought about it at the time, like it sounded like that?
Yeah, I think they kind of the added flavor from it, because Love Light had was a hot record out when their record was out.
Okay.
And then, a lot of writers, they tried to
mimic
the same thing.
Okay.
So I think they just wrote it from that.
And one thing that I always thought was funny in the song was, there's some line like, "Hey boy, I see you reading The Sensuous Woman by Anne.
Yeah.
Won't do you any good because I taught it all to him."
Yeah. Yeah.
So that record, was it a hit in Chicago?
It was a nice. We didn't get the play that we should have gotten.
But it got local radio play.
Right.
Yes,
it
did. Mm-hmm.
It just wasn't like you're saying it was a local hit and not a national hit.
Right.
And you said singing lead on that record is Betty.
Betty.
And is that the only record she sings on?
Yeah.
She sings on the B side, but not lead. Is that right?
Correct.
Right.
So the B side was called Just Because. Who sings lead on that?
Glenda.
Okay.
Which is Gwen.
Okay. And so you cut that record. Did you end up getting more shows after you cut that record?
We worked pretty good.
We was working before that.
Before
and you signed a contract with Clarence. Did he sign a contract to sign a certain number of records, or do you remember what the deal was?
I don't remember.
We did Say It. We did that with him. Say It.
Slipping and Dipping with him too.
Yeah, that was the second record on his on another label he went.
Do that. Slipping and Dipping. That was Geraldine.
Yeah, the second record was I Want to Be With You,
right,
and Say It, It's Good to You.
Right.
That second record, it came out a few years later, around 1980, something like that. So there was a few years in between those two records. Were you just doing shows at the time?
Doing shows. We did a lot of things. Yeah, we did, especially with the mayor. We was always booked.
Okay.
We was always booked.
So were you doing music full time at that point?
Yeah. Working.
We were working.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Matter of fact, we all three ended up working at the mental health.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So, that second record, by that point, Betty had left the group.
Yeah.
What was the story with that?
She wanted to be a Diana Ross.
Okay.
When Tom Joyner said this. This was so weird. We did a lot of things with Tom Joyner and Doug Banks. They would do a lot of, how you have they have the club set?
Okay.
And we would go in and do a lot of stuff with Tom Joyner. He told me
that. Actually, the first show that Tom Joyner had when he first came to Chicago, set was on Harrison and California.
So the Golden Flame.
We were the only one that came to that set. He didn't have nobody
else.
We came to that set when he first came. And he kind of looked at her and he said, "You want to be a
Diana Ross."
So you're saying she was trying to be billed as the lead of the group, or go? She wanted to go solo.
She wanted it to be Coffee, Betty and Coffee.
Okay, right. And you wanted to be more of a group focused group.
Right. Love being alone, but Coffee.
Okay, mm-hmm. So did she leave herself? Or
yeah, kind of help them.
Okay.
That's Capricorn.
Do you know if she ended up doing anything after the group left?
Yeah, she did.
She's still singing.
Her husband manages her now. She does like jazz.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I think, and I don't think it was so much of her, it was more her husband pushing her.
Okay.
I don't think she would have did it on her own.
Okay.
But I think it was her husband wanting to push her out in front.
Okay. But I mean, yeah, there's always some people who like being solo singers and some people who want to be with a group. So you cut that second record called I Want to Be With You and Say It, It's Good to You. Mm-hmm. What was the A side of it?
I Want to Be With You.
Okay, that was the A side.
Right.
And did that get any play?
Oh, yes, that took us over.
That gave us a lot of...
So let me play that record and we can talk some more. So this is Coffee with I Want to Be With You. The first record came out on Clarence Johnson's Love Light record label. This record came out on his MIR record label. So this is Coffee with their second record, I Want to Be With You. Okay, that was just Coffee with their second record called I Want to Be With You. And that came out around 1979 or 1980. Was that, did that get any play?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Chicago, locally,
they did. So, and that was that your biggest hit in Chicago?
Right.
At the time, at least?
Right.
And it obviously had more of a disco sound.
Right.
And so it was because disco was big at the time.
At that time, right.
That you kind of crossed over with that hit. So what's the story? You had gone, you actually signed from being on local Chicago labels to a major New York label, Delight Records.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How did that happen?
Well, Clarence kind of gave up on the group because he couldn't get a deal, record deal. So he gave me the permission to do what I want with the record. So I went to the radio station to promote the record to try to get it played on the air. And I ran into Eddie Thomas, and he was on his way to New York.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so I gave him a tape.
Yeah.
I gave him a tape. I said, we'll take this and see if you can get us a deal.
What song was it?
Casanova.
Yeah.
Casanova. Okay. Right. Was it a tape or like a dub? Like, do you remember?
I believe it was a tape.
It was a tape.
It might have been, you know what? No, it was a 45.
So it was a dub, like an acetate.
Because I was taking it to the radio station at that time, so I had to have. And I gave him one, and he took it with him.
So you had recorded Casanova with Clarence in Chicago.
Yeah.
And so he took it to New York. He took it to D-Light Records.
Right.
And then you got a call from them or something?
Yeah, Gabe liked it. He liked the sound in the group.
Who was the guy that called you?
Gabe. We called him Gabe.
Gabe was the president of
D-Light Records.
Do you remember his last name?
Vigoroga? Something like that.
So you see, he called you.
Yeah.
And you knew about Kool and the Gang being on the label. And like,
right.
Yeah.
We knew Kool and the Gang was on the label.
So it must have been exciting that a big label was calling you.
It was very exciting.
So did you, what happened? Did you go to New York to record?
He came to meet us.
Okay.
He flew in. Where was that when he met us?
We was downtown.
Somewhere.
And he flew in, and we were downtown in one of the lawyers or somebody's office, and then they introduced us. This is Coffee, and he said, "Well, girls, get ready to come to New York."
Matter of fact, we went to New York at the time. We had a contract with the Mayor Burns,
Jane Burns.
We had a contract, and we didn't. We couldn't finish the record. Went there to do background on Kool and Gang Celebration album.
Okay.
But we wasn't able to finish it. I think we did one cut. Because we had to go back to do our contract with the mayor.
So you had to do like a show for the mayor?
Oh, yeah. Right. We had to do that.
Yeah.
Venetian night. So we couldn't finish it.
But you actually sing on one of the songs on the Celebration?
Just Friends called Just Friends. We did the background on that.
And Celebration, too.
Celebration.
Oh, okay.
You did background on Celebration.
Okay, I don't remember that one.
Background is on Celebration. There's Coffee on there.
That must be exciting that you were on.
Yeah.
So did you actually, you flew over to New York, you did background for Kool and the Gang. Did you also record yourselves in New York?
Yeah, we did. We were in Orange, New Jersey.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so what year was that, like 1980?
Yeah, it was 82.
Well, they released Mom and Dad as Mom and Dad 1980.
1980, because we did...
The second album was from 82, I think.
Right.
But it was in 1980.
So you went there, did you record the whole album there?
Yeah, we did everything there.
And so one of your original hits was Casanova. And you had said you had recorded it locally and taken like an acetate, like a dub over there. So the version that they released, did you re-record it when you were in New York, Casanova, or was it the original version?
It was the original version. We just recorded it over there, right?
We did it. We did everything over there. We recorded everything.
Maybe they remixed it.
No, we did it because we had to do the background.
Well, what did I
do? But this is the second album.
Yeah.
This is the one we did over there
in New York.
But you did your earlier album you did in New York also, right?
We didn't do it.
We did this one here in Chicago.
Oh, so the first album was recorded in Chicago.
Right. So, and then we did this one over here.
So the first album that was recorded in Chicago, was it recorded with Clarence?
Yes.
And they just, Delight Records just ended up releasing the whole album.
Right.
So pretty much the whole album was done, and they just needed the tapes. They didn't do anything with it. They just put it out.
Right.
So, and the record that got played, so you, first of all, you did two remakes of Chicago songs on this record. You did Casanova.
We did If This World Was Mine. We did that over in New York.
Okay.
And I'm doing a duet with
Leon Bryant.
That's out of New York.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that's not a Chicago song.
Right.
And then you did a remake of How Can I Tell My Mom and Dad.
Chicago.
So was that when you recorded those with Clarence,
yeah,
originally, was that his idea to sort of redo,
yeah,
Chicago songs?
Mm-hmm.
And because he already had done something similar with your first song that sounded kind of like,
right,
My Conscience. So was that part of your sound, or was that just his idea?
See, that was his group.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That was his group. And then when he got us, he was probably just had that flavor.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So Casanova, was that your first hit on Delight Records?
Yes.
And that was the biggest record you did on Delight.
Mm-hmm.
So let me play Casanova and we can talk some more. So this is Coffee with their version of Casanova. The CD player is having some issues. Let me play. I have on another CD player ready. I'm going to play Coffee's version of How Can I Tell My Mom and Dad, and then we can come back. So this is called Mom and Dad 1980.
I'm gonna explain this to Mama. Oh, I know she won't understand. Well, just the other day, she and I was talking, and we got on the subject about being a parent and how hard it was. But then she said, I have raised 5 and I've loved every moment of it. Oh, that made me feel so good. How much I love that man, but oh, will they ever know how much he's hurt me so? I know I was a fool to be loved by you, but I've got to find a way. What can I say? Somebody please help me explain. Help me explain this misery. Disappeared on me. Now I'm so ashamed, 'cause he whipped the game. No, no, oh, stand up like a big girl. Tell him about me and you. Somebody please help me explain. Help me explain this misery. Yes, I went to Mama. I told her everything. At first I was crying. I couldn't even get my words out clearly. But she understood what I was saying, all right. She said, dry your eyes, young lady. I mean now. One thing about my Mama, she always let you know how she feels. Right then, Daddy comes storming out the room. What's the problem? Oh, I had to start all over again. When I got through telling Daddy, he just turned around and went back in his room. Mama said, everybody can make mistakes, baby, and you are entitled to one. Now don't go thinking you did something great because I'm hurt. But I love you, and whenever you need me, I'm going to be there. I'm glad I went up to Mama and told her just what I've done. I didn't disappear in the night, and let them know that something went wrong. I didn't go out and do something I wouldn't want to.
No, no.
Okay, that was just Coffee with their version of How Can I Tell My Mom and Dad. That was called Mom and Dad 1980. And I think that was the second single that your group released on Delight Records.
Yes.
And obviously around 1980 because it says it in the song.
Mm-hmm.
So, first of all, Casanova, that was your first record you released, and you said it was your biggest, one of your biggest hits on Delight. Mm-hmm. Did it get national radio play?
No, it's funny. It got national. We just didn't get no Chicago play.
Okay.
It was playing all over, everywhere except home.
Okay. And then you were telling me earlier it got played in Europe even, is that right?
Yeah, that's where, Germany, that's where it was big.
Okay. So did you tour like more off of it? Did you ever go outside of the...
See, that's the thing. We was in the studio in New York, and it was Cool in the Game, we was doing the Celebration album. And Cool said, oh, it's a group over in Europe. It's a record called Casanova. It's really big. It was bigger than Cool in the Game.
Yeah.
Cool in the Game would have been open enough to show
us.
For us if we had And I said, he was just talking about how big this record was. I said, is it Casanova? Yeah. And I said, I hum a little of it. I said, do it sound like this? He said, yeah. I said, that's our record.
Yeah.
And but we didn't go. We should have went, but we didn't go because at the time they offered us $500, and I felt that $500 we could stay in the city and make $500, then
right.
Go over to Europe.
Okay.
We found out
it was
$20,000.
Yes, and it was all
under
the table scam thing.
So we didn't go, but I still wish we should have went.
We got our passports.
Okay.
We got our passports and everything to go to Europe.
Okay. So, yeah, that's too bad, though. It would have been good to promote your record more.
Right, it would have promoted.
So then the second record you released was the one I just played, which was Mom and Dad in 1980. And that was also, that was part of the album that Clarence recorded in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And also a literal remake of a Love Light song.
Yeah.
But one thing that's interesting is you take the song and you change it and you put a happy ending on it.
Right. Yeah.
So whose idea was it to do that?
My idea. When? My idea.
See, I changed it. Snatched it out of my mind, right?
Yeah. It was my idea to change it.
Okay.
When came up with the...
I was a good I'm a good person in improv and putting dialogue and, you know, stuff like that. And it just, when it's a realness, and that was a real story.
Okay.
You know, at the time, this really happened to me.
Okay.
Because I had a daughter and I could always talk to my mom and, you know, like fathers would say, I'm long as I'm good, I'm his. But when things got bad, take your daughter. You know, like
okay.
That. So that's how really that came along. Then.
So you actually, the song was meaningful to you because
yes, it
happened to her.
So you sing lead and you do the monologue on
yes.
it. Okay. Yeah, that's interesting that you kind of made it your own.
Yeah.
And so were those the only two singles released off of the first album?
No, what's the one I did?
Take Me Back.
Take Me Back. Yes,
Okay. I think that was off the second album. That was off the first.
Second.
That was the second album.
Second album, yes.
Okay, that was
second. So you said for your second album you actually flew to New York.
Mm-hmm.
Was and one thing I didn't ask was Ruth Moore still your manager?
No. Actually, I managed her when we went to New York.
Yeah, she was.
I was doing the manager because I didn't see no sense paying nobody.
Okay.
They weren't doing it.
But before then you had Swish managers?
Yeah.
Who was your manager before then?
Frank Tim.
And who was he?
Actually, we met Frank through the band. We had a band called Midnight Sun Band.
Okay.
He managed them.
But they were like your backing band?
Yeah, they mm-hmm. played behind us. So we picked him up as a manager.
Okay.
When we got the recording.
Right.
But we didn't use them until we started recording.
So did they play on that first album?
No. We had all top professional.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like Chicago studio musicians.
Yeah, right.
We had big time musicians.
Do you remember where it was recorded?
Which one? Chicago. We did that one. What's the name of that studio? Michigan. I don't remember the name. I really can't remember the name. But that'd be the second one. But you, that must have been exciting though
that you actually had a whole album out. Mm-hmm. Like, were they pushing single sales or were they starting to go for album sales? Because most of the people I talked to up here, they were recording in the 60s where it was more like about singles. Did you sell a lot of albums with that first album?
I think it was like mainly singles.
Okay.
Right.
Did they release anything on a 12-inch? I know those were big, like disco 12-inches.
They had some discos on the 12 inches. Yeah, they had some on the 12 inches.
Slipping and dipping on
the Slipping and dipping.
Wasn't that on the first
that
one?
That was on there.
Okay.
That was on the first one.
So then you went to New York in around 82 and recorded the second album. Mm-hmm. And they released it. And were there any, what was the big, was there any singles off the second album? That was Take Me Back.
Casanova was off for the second, yeah, for the second one, and then My Turn to Burn.
Okay.
Take Me Back.
Yeah, I have that on a single.
Take Me Back.
So, did you have any more hits? What was your biggest songs after Mom and Dad? The ones you got
the biggest one was Casanova.
Okay. And then, so what's the story? You talked about how you didn't go to Europe for a tour. So how long did you stay with Delight Records?
Was it 2 years? Because I know we went back. We had to go back. My mom passed and we came back. Then we went back to New York. But we were with Delight for, 2 years?
So from like 80 to 82 you were with Delight?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Why did you leave the label?
They folded.
They sure did.
Okay.
They went under.
Yeah.
So, did the group stay together after that?
Yeah, we stayed together. We kept working.
So you just kept working clubs, and
right.
Was it harder to get work? Because I know there were fewer clubs around that time.
We never did little clubs.
Okay.
We always did shows for the mayor you were talking about.
Mayor, we did shows.
We'd do some background, like for Gene Chandler, and down at the. Was that the blue light or the
a lot of the summer fest
plaza,
stuff
like
that. And all those fest type shows they had.
Okay.
So we did a lot of.
How long did the group stay together?
We broke up in 1995.
Oh, so you were together for a very long time.
Mm-hmm, yes.
We went to the Great Lake Naval Base too.
Yeah, we did that in 95.
So through the 80s and 90s, your group was just doing shows.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And in 95, you just decided to stop singing?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, and we did. And then I turned gospel.
Okay.
Right.
And do you have some of your new material here?
I didn't even take it out. You did? No, you got to open it.
So can we talk about what everybody has done since 95? First of all, the group never recorded again after the Delight Records. Is that right?
Correct.
Did you want to record, or it was just you were more focused on doing shows?
We did a reunion, and whatever. If we got together today, it'd be like we never broke up.
Right.
Okay.
That's how tight we are.
So your harmony is just built in.
Yes, you just do it.
First every day.
Okay.
Every day.
And sorry, I'm trying to get the CD out. So the group. So first of all, I want to go through and Gwen, you said you are doing gospel.
Uh-huh.
What have you done with gospel?
Well, this is my first project.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, I'm the first lady of my church. My husband is a bishop.
Okay.
And with this CD, I went to London. I've just been traveling with this. the city. And I think all three of us is retired, you know.
Right.
We was on our job at 16. We are not at the age of retirement, but we just was on our job. We worked out while we performed. So I was been at UIC ever since I was like 18.
Okay.
You know, so then now we're in a position now where we can do most anything we want to do.
Right.
So with this CD, I just been traveling with it and hoping to maybe get discovered once I'm here at Bob's show.
So the CD is called First Lady Glenda Searcy, is that right?
And it's called Wait.
And this got put this out on your own label?
Yes.
And how can people get the CD?
They can, it's on there, they can email Bishop Searcy. They can, it's a phone number on there, and they can also come to New Day, which is on New Day Missionary Baptist Church, which is on the west side.
Okay.
5038 West Madison.
Okay. And I'll play a track from this. Which track should I play?
You can play Wait.
Okay. But I'm going to play it at the end, but I wanted to go through and say what each other person has done since. Has anyone else been involved with music since?
No.
Okay.
Just had my children in.
Okay. You said your children
my
are?
My children are in the singing.
Okay.
In disguise.
Well, you could get them to be a new group.
Right. They've been doing it for a long time. He works in the studio just like what you. That's
in disguise.
In disguise
is the name of the group.
In disguise.
In disguise.
In disguise is the name of the group.
Have they recorded anything?
Yes, they have.
Okay, well, people.
Teachers out there. Everything.
People should look out for that stuff
look
too.
Look out for them. It's coming out.
Okay, well, I'm gonna play Wait, and then we can talk a little bit more. So this is from Glenda's solo CD, which I guess has just come out recently.
Yeah.
So here it is.
And everything will be okay. patiently wait, then everything will be okay. Be okay. No one in this world could ever see what the Lord has in store for you and me. If we just wait, pray, He'll pour us out a blessing that we won't have room to receive.
Pray, I say, just pray.
Everything will be okay if you
just wait.
When we wait,
pray,
I promise that my God pray. Won't come too late if you just
pray.
Won't you wait?
I say,
please wait on Him.
Just wait. If you just wait,
promise
and pray.
Pray. I'm gonna wait on Him.
Okay, that was just Glenda Searcy with a track off of the gospel CD that she just put out that was called Wait, and that had a really nice kind of modern R&B gospel sound. So if people want to get that CD, should I read the phone number from it? So the number is 888-448-8883, and then they could also email Bishop Searcy. Searcy is spelled S-E-A-R-C-Y at yahoo.com. So actually, it sounded really good. I hope something happens with that, and you still have a very nice voice, actually.
Thank you.
So I wanted to say thanks, everybody, for coming up and telling your story. It was great.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you for having us.
Do you have any last words for the listening audience?
Well, I do. This is Glenda, the gospel singer. I want to tell anyone that's out there that's trying to get into the music business, that want to sing, don't give up your dream. Because if music is your passion, you don't let nothing or nobody stop you from fulfilling it and dealing with your passion. Because I'm telling you, Coffee is sitting right here, even though we're not singing together anymore. But if you call us to come and do something for you, we'll blow you out.
Okay.
Second emotion.
Third emotion over here.
Okay, well, thanks again.
You're welcome, Bob.
Thank you.
So I'm going to play one more track off of your CD. What track should I play?
Track 6.
Okay.